السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
Excellent morals and showing good manners on every occasion, be it at home, at any level of the society, towards one's relatives or other people, has been taught by Islam to such an extent that not even the smallest aspect has been left unaddressed. No other religion addresses this matter in such detail. However, unfortunately, it is Muslims who are generally considered to be at the lowest level in this regard. The non-Muslims criticize them because their practice is contrary to what they preach. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has not only emphasized this through his practical example, but has also, at various occasions, repeatedly and emphatically admonished his ummah to achieve the highest moral standards. Muslims generally claim to love the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, but there is almost no adherence among them to his words or to his deeds. And due to such a condition of the Muslims, the current state of affairs was bound to come about. Thus, Allah the Almighty sent the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, but these people refused to pay heed to this. Rather, some people in certain places or countries have reached the peak of opposition. And they use the most loathsome and vile language against the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, and his followers, while disregarding even the smallest manners, or rather lowering themselves below a morally deprived person. However, they are also facing its consequences. As I mentioned, that non-Muslims are denouncing them everywhere in the world. And this state of theirs should draw the attention of us Ahmadis towards making utmost efforts to inculcate within us the most excellent of morals. We should try to adopt the highest morals, utilizing all our faculties, which is also the teaching of Islam, and also the practical example of which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has established before us, and regarding which he has admonished us through various means. Otherwise, it would be of no benefit for us to be Ahmadis, or of being called so. If we look at the practical example of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, we see astonishing moral standards. If we take a look at his family affairs, we see that, for example, he is expressing his utmost displeasure to one of his wives for mocking another wife due to her being short, and saying that one should not inflict emotional pain to anyone. On other occasions, we see him advising one of his wives that you should not show the slightest displeasure at any of the other wives over anything they do. Then at times we see the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, advising children in order to raise their moral standards. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, once said to a child that you should not throw stones at people's fruit trees, and thereby destroy their ripe or half-ripe fruits. And if you are hungry, and you cannot bear it any more, then you may eat the ripe dates which have already fallen down the tree. However, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, also advised him that what would be most excellent is that I pray for this, that you may never be coerced into such a situation, where you have to pick up the dates from the floor to eat. May Allah the Almighty continue to provide for you. Thus, with this prayer, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, drew the attention of the child towards turning to Allah the Almighty for the fulfillment of his needs, instead of taking people's property by using wrongful means. Although, under certain circumstances, such things which are just lying around in excess may become lawful, but the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that you should adopt the highest morals, and that is true righteousness, i.e. taqwa. Furthermore, when a child was eating quickly and moving around his hand around the plate swiftly, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that first recite Bismillah, i.e. in the name of Allah, and then eat with your right hand, and eat from what is right in front of you. Thus, we should undertake the moral training of children in this manner, so that they come to adopt excellent morals as they become adults. Furthermore, dishonesty is a sin, and truthfulness is a virtue and a good moral. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has given guidance to instill this moral quality in the hearts of children from their very childhood in this manner. A companion narrates an incident of his childhood, saying that once the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, came to our home. And due to my immaturity, a short while later, whilst the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was still present at home, I was about to leave in order to play outside. And so, in order to stop me from leaving this blessed environment, my mother said that come here and stay here, and if you do so, I will give you something. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that do you wish to give him something? My mother replied, yes, I will give him a date. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated, if this was not your intention, and you had merely said this in order to call the child, then you would have been guilty of committing a sin, as this would have been a lie. Thus, in this way, even this child became aware of the importance of truthfulness and the abhorrence of dishonesty at this very young age. Furthermore, he remembered it even when he grew older, and mentioned that this was the importance of truthfulness that had taken root in his heart following this incident. Once the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated to a person that if you are unable to refrain from every vice, then you should refrain from telling lies. You should at least refrain from one vice. Now let us see whether Muslims nowadays uphold such standards in that they refrain from dishonesty and establish truthfulness with such consideration. As a matter of fact, we should also assess ourselves as to whether we are upholding such standards. In one of the narrations, it has been mentioned that in relation to the greater sins, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that major sins are shirk, i.e. associating partners with Allah the Almighty, and disobedience towards parents. And then the person narrating this states that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was listing these major sins whilst he was sitting down and leaning against something. But then he sat up straight and said, and then he said, listen carefully, it is dishonesty and giving false witness. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, repeated this and said that it is dishonesty and giving false witness. He repeated this several times, and the person narrating this states that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, continued to repeat this, and we wished that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would now stop doing so. Furthermore, we also witness and observe his morals as to how elevated his standards of forbearance and patience were, and how he used to guide his companions. Once, a Bedouin started to urinate in the mosque, and so the people ran towards him in order to stop him. However, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that leave him be, and pour water over the area he has urinated on. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then further stated that you have been created to provide ease for people and not to cause them hardships. Following this, the Bedouin always mentioned this act of kindness of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Nowadays, it seems as if Muslim governments, scholars, as well as certain groups are leading the way in causing hardships for people. They are neither providing ease on minor issues and nor on major issues. On one occasion, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that if you wish to find out whether you are doing something good or bad, then you should turn towards your neighbors and see what opinion they have about you. Following this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated to the leaders, he stated that your high morals will manifest themselves when you will consider yourselves to be the servants of the nation, and when you will serve the general public with all your capabilities and capacities. However, where do we see such standards among our leaders and those occupying official posts? Therefore, the office bearers in our Jamaat should also pay attention towards this matter. Furthermore, we observe the standards of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, when he received every form of power and had conquered Arabia. In what excellent manner did the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, manifest his high morals on the occasion of the conquest of Mecca, where he forgave even the enemies, those who were the bitter enemies of his life, and continuously caused hardships. And moreover, this forgiveness then served as the means for the acceptance of Islam for many among them. Mentioning the standards of the highest moral qualities of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states on one occasion, addressing the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, Allah the Almighty states that innaka la'ala khuluqin azim, that is, thou dost surely possess high moral excellences. Hence, in accordance with this elaboration, it means that every form of moral excellence, such as generosity, courage, justice, mercy, benevolence, truthfulness, and forbearance, in other words, to tolerate something with forbearance, are found in your character. In short, every attribute that can be found within the heart of a person, such as respect, modesty, honesty, kindness, honor, steadfastness, chastity, moderation, sympathy, as well as courage, generosity, forgiveness, patience, benevolence, truthfulness, and loyalty, etc. When all of these natural conditions are manifested in accordance with one's mind and intellect on the appropriate and proper occasion, then they will be labeled as moral qualities. Furthermore, all of these moral qualities are in fact natural conditions and feelings of a person, and are merely labeled as moral qualities when they are manifested on the appropriate and proper occasion and in accordance with a person's intention, not merely as a habit. As a matter of fact, every moral quality should be applied and manifested in order to bring forth its virtuous outcome. At times, punishment is required to be meted out. Hence, this should be done in order to bring forth a virtuous outcome. Mentioning the various circumstances of displaying high moral qualities, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states that high morals can be determined under two circumstances: in times of trials and tribulations, and in times of success and prosperity. A person who demonstrates patience and endeavors to acquire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty at times of trials and tribulations possesses high moral qualities. Furthermore, a person who demonstrated humility and establishes justice in times of success and governance can also be labeled as one who possesses high moral qualities. Thus, both of these circumstances manifest themselves in all their glory in the life of our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. As I mentioned earlier as well, as to how the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, forgave even his enemies at the time of the conquest of Mecca, those who were enemies of his life. And the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states, the morals of a person can always manifest themselves under two circumstances, either at times of trials or at times of success. And if only one aspect manifests itself, whereas the other aspect does not, then the moral qualities cannot be determined. Since God Almighty desired to perfect the moral qualities of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, therefore, part of the life of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was spent in Mecca, whereas another part was spent in Medina. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, demonstrated patience upon the extreme torment of the enemies in Mecca, and despite these people behaving with the utmost cruelty, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, continued to treat them with kindness and forbearance. Furthermore, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, continued to convey the message he had received from God Almighty. Following this, when he gained dominance in Medina, and these very enemies were captured and brought before him, he forgave most of them. Despite possessing the power to seek retribution, he did not do so. Further mentioning the moral excellences of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, one should listen to these matters with great attentiveness. I have observed and scrutinized many people in that they are generous, however, at the same time they are furious and ill-tempered. In other words, they are very generous and give charity to people. However, at the same time, they also become furious and express their irritation on the smallest of issues. At times, they give charity to someone and immediately boast about it if they become irritated. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states that some people are kind and gentle. However, they are also niggardly. Some people inflict wounds upon another person in a state of rage and fury, and they are absolutely void of modesty and humility. I have seen some people who are extremely modest and humble. However, they are not courageous. In other words, they are modest and humble, but are not courageous and brave. They display cowardice at the slightest of adversities. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states, every attribute cannot be found in every person. This is correct. However, it is also true that he cannot be absolutely void of every attribute. Mentioning the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states, the most perfect example in relation to these moral qualities is that of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who possessed every attribute in perfection. For this reason, Allah the Almighty stated, in relation to him, that إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ أَزِيمٍ. That is, thou dost surely possess high moral excellences. Thus, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, displayed excellent moral qualities during times of hardships and displayed a standard of patience which left the world in astonishment and through which he became the ruler of the whole of Arabia. And as I mentioned, he forgave every person who committed cruelties against them. Thus, these are the standards of excellent high morals which a true Muslim, a person who believes in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, should always and under all circumstances keep before him. How has the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, guided us in this regard? In relation to the moral qualities of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states that such were these high morals that they attracted people towards him in a miraculous way. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states that if we improve our moral standards in following this example and use every moral value in its appropriate place, then we will also be able to show miracles. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states that people often give excuses and try to wriggle out when rare signs are demonstrated. But high moral virtues have such a miraculous effect that no one can question them. That is why the greatest miracle given to our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was that of high moral virtues, as it says in the Holy Quran that إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ أَزِيمٍ. That is, thou dost surely possess high moral excellences. Even though the strength of proof of the miracles of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is much higher than all the other prophets, however, the miracle of his moral virtues is higher than the rest of them, and there is no parallel in the history of the world, and no one can show such a parallel. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states, I think everyone who gives up sinful practices and bad habits and adopts good virtues, i.e. takes up good habits, that is the miracle for him. Thus, it is a great miracle if you leave evil habits and adopt noble virtues. For example, if a person who is quick-tempered and is given to show anger leaves these habits and becomes of a milder nature and forgiving, or gives up a miserly nature and adopts generosity and leaves jealousy for compassion, then without doubt these are miracles. If someone is quick-tempered and shows anger, which are bad habits, and he leaves those and becomes soft and forgiving, or he leaves miserliness for generosity and adopts compassion instead of being jealous, This is such a change that is nothing short of a miracle, and the results are obvious for everyone to see. Similarly, when one leaves self-praise and conceit and adopts humility and modesty, that humility is the miracle. Leaving self-praise or asking others to praise oneself and adopting humility will become a miracle. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, "Who among you does not want to show miracles? I know everyone wants that. Thus, this is an eternal and living miracle. Improving your moral state is such a virtue that never goes to waste. Instead, you reap its benefits for a long time. A believer should try to show such miracles in front of people as well as before God. Many reprobates and immoral people who are not convinced by miraculous signs bow before high moral virtues and have no alternative but to accept. If you read people's biographies, you will find that many of them converted to the true religion by mere observation of high moral virtues. On the face of it, even some worldly people are courteous, but what is called a moral virtue is in fact a facade. They are showing these virtues just to prove themselves as good people. They show themselves to be good where no personal interest is involved, while in their hearts they are completely different. Or at times, they claim that a person of high official or financial status has high moral virtues, although it is just flattery. They see a weakness, but they call it a virtue, either out of fear or due to cowardice. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, "This is not the teachings of Islam, as these are not the true Islamic virtues. Instead, high virtue or high morals is that whatever you say, it should be heartfelt. If you are showing compassion, it should come from your heart. If you are showing any other emotion, it should also come from your heart." Explaining this, on one occasion, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, stated, "There are two types of virtue. One, shown by the newly educated people of today, showing adulation and flattery on your face, while their hearts are full of deceit and hostility. Such behavior is against the Holy Quran. The second type of virtue is that one should be truly compassionate. There should not be any deceit in the heart and shouldn't resort to flattery. As Allah the Almighty states that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمَرُ بِالْأَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. That is, verily Allah enjoins justice and the doing of good to others and giving like kindred. This is the best attitude, to do justice and say things as they are. There are situations where ihsan, are you to do good, is required. And so you should do good. Then, going a step further, treat people like a mother treats her children, or a close relative treats his kith and kin." And so the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states that this is the best practice, and there is guidance for the best practice in Allah's book. Those who do not submit to this book cannot find true guidance anywhere else. Good teachings require pure hearts for them to be effective. If you look closely, you will find impurities in people who are away from this true guidance. Thus, purity of heart is required. You are required to follow the path of Allah the Almighty's commandments and pleasure. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, "Life is unreliable, and so try to enhance your truthfulness, purity and standard of salat. Make progress in your worship and enhance the level of truthfulness. Base all of your actions on truthfulness." Some people ask, what are good deeds? Some people think that formal salat and the acts of worship is true virtue, or demonstration of ordinary virtues is a good deed. However, they are not careful about many basic virtues. In regards to this, The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, has beautifully shed light on this subject. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, virtues are the keys to other good deeds. Those who do not look after their virtues gradually become useless. No good comes from them. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states, I believe that there is a use for everything in this world, including poison and filth. Even strychnine has its own benefits. It affects your nerves. But a man who does not seek high moral virtues and does not become a useful entity, so even the poison and filth have their uses. But a man who does not seek moral virtue and is not beneficial for others becomes completely useless. Thus, a man is only of use if he possesses high moral virtues. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, in such an instance, one becomes worse than the dead animal. At least the skin and bones of a dead animal can be used, but a man's skin is useless. This is the point when he becomes as balhum adal. That is, he becomes the most inferior creature. Therefore, remember, the improvement of your morals is extremely important, as morals are the mother of good deeds. If you have good moral virtues, you will be able to perform good deeds. How these morals are expressed in day-to-day life, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, some people get annoyed when they see a beggar. They get annoyed when they see a beggar or a person in need. And if they are clerics, then instead of giving him something, they start explaining to him about when and how to ask for help. In other words, if a person has asked them for help, instead of giving him help, they start explaining the hows and whys, and engage in a scholarly discourse and start explaining the pros and cons of asking for help. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, having impressed them with their knowledge, they sometimes start rebuking them. Alas, they are devoid of all sense and lack all judgment endowed to a person of pure heart and good nature. They do not even think that if a person is begging despite being able-bodied, he is himself committing a sin. If a beggar asks for help despite being in good health, then he is responsible for that sin. But if you have something to help the beggar, then give it to him. At least helping him is not a sin. Indeed, according to a hadith, a saying of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, even if a beggar comes riding on a horse, you should still help him. And in the Holy Quran, it states that وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ, that is, that do not rebuke the beggar. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, no distinction has been made that one is allowed to rebuke one type of beggar and not the other. Remember not to rebuke the beggar. Do not rebuke someone who is asking for help, as it sows the seed of bad manners. Virtue is that one should not be angry towards the beggar. Satan's desire is to keep you from doing good deeds and to make you do evil. Furthermore, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, reflect on the fact that a virtuous deed generates another virtue, and similarly, an evil deed is the source of causing another evil. Just as something absorbs another, similarly, God Almighty has established the system of assimilation in every action, the system of learning and mastering. Therefore, you will offer something in charity through your good manners by treating beggars with politeness. This will reduce your disinclination and you will perform another act of goodness. That is, the feeling of reluctance in that person will lessen and they will be able to perform more good deeds. In this case, such a person will give something to the beggar. Then, there is the question in our society about respecting parents who are not Ahmadis or they oppose Ahmadiyyat. And so, how did the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, establish respect for such parents? Once, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, advised Sheikh Abdul Rahman Sahib Qadiani regarding a similar matter. While inquiring about Sheikh Saib's father, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam stated that you should pray for him. One should please their parents in any way and as much as possible. One should demonstrate their good manners and pure example more than ever before in order to prove the truthfulness of Islam to them. The promised Messiah alayhi salam advised Sheikh Saib to show his example because his parents were not Muslims. So in this way, they would be convinced of the truthfulness of Islam. Other miracles cannot come close to a perfect example of good morals. The standard of true Islam is such that its followers are able to achieve high morals, and as a result, they become distinguished individuals. Through you, perhaps God will inculcate the love of Islam in their hearts. Islam does not prohibit one from serving their parents. You should show utmost obedience to them in every way possible in worldly affairs that do not damage the faith. Serve them with your heart and soul. On one occasion, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam stated, "Morals are what distinguish human beings from animals." And elaborating upon that, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "Firstly, animals cannot differentiate between a condition and a quantity, and it takes whatever is in front of it. Take, for example, a dog. It will continue to eat to the point of vomiting. Animals do not know the differences between different environments, circumstances, and measures of various things. The promised Messiah alayhi salam gave an example of a dog that it does not know how much to eat, and it will continue to eat until the point of sickness. It has been noticed that this is the condition of certain people, in that their greed knows no limits, and they try to devour everything, whether it is food or someone's wealth, be it through lawful or unlawful means. They seek to devour it." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "Secondly, animals do not understand the difference between what is lawful and unlawful. The first thing mentioned about such people was that they are not aware of what their condition should be and its spirituality, and to what extent is one allowed to use their permissible sources to live. One should not be focused solely on amassing wealth continuously. Rather, people should have a careful assessment about all such things. Secondly, animals cannot draw a distinction between lawful and unlawful. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "For example, a bull is not able to draw distinction between its field and the neighbor's field, and that it should not be there. It is a free animal and it is grazing, and so if the field is unfenced, it will go to the other fields as it does not understand the difference." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "Similarly, it does not do everything required in terms of food." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states that such people who break the rules of morality and do not care about it is as if they are not human beings. There is no difference between what is pure and impure, to such an extent that in Arabia they would eat the carcass. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, whilst giving this example, states that even in the current times people eat the dead. The promised Messiah states, "People do not even slightly hesitate in usurping the wealth of the orphans. If some grass owned by an orphan is placed in front of a cow, it will consume it." Meaning that if grass owned by an orphan is placed in front of a cow, it will eat it without any hesitation, regardless of the fact that it was brought there with permission or without it. Similarly is the case of some people who usurp the wealth of orphans, with or without permission. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "Similar is the condition of certain people. This is the meaning of their abode is hell. The abode of humans who usurp something and devour it unlawfully is hell." The promised Messiah further states, "Therefore keep in mind that there are two aspects of this. The first aspect is of divine magnificence. Whoever is against this, they are against morality. And the second aspect is affection towards the creation of God Almighty. Hence, whoever is against mankind, they are against morality. And if they do not fulfill the rights of God and do not accept His magnificence, they do not worship Him and they do not pay attention to His commandments and they do not strive to obtain His pleasure, then these are not good morals. if they do not fulfill the rights of human beings and usurp their wealth unlawfully and try to cause them harm and demonstrate bad morals towards them, then this is also against virtue. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states that there are very few people who focus on the aim and objective of a human being's life. Then, arrogance is another vice which deprives one from performing virtuous deeds. Rather, it is a source of God's displeasure. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, the Sufis say that there are countless demons of lowly morals within man, and they continue to be released gradually, and the last demon amongst them all is the demon of arrogance that exists within man. It can be defeated only through the grace of God, sincere endeavor and prayers. The promised Messiah further states, a lot of men consider themselves to be humble. They demonstrate immense meekness, and they think that we are truly modest, but even they have some sort of arrogance within them. For this reason, one should safeguard against the subtlest types of arrogance. Sometimes wealth develops arrogance. A wealthy person considers other people as impoverished, and he says to himself, who is the person trying to contend with me? And at times, people get arrogant due to family lineage and tribe. A person considers their family lineage to be superior over another family, that they consider as inferior in comparison. And every so often, knowledge becomes a source of arrogance as well. When someone makes a mistake, such a person immediately points out the error and makes a lot of noise that this person does not know how to say a particular word correctly. In short, arrogance exists in many forms, and they all deprive a person from attaining virtuous deeds and prevent people from benefiting others. One should protect himself from all of these. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, then states, no person is bestowed with the power to do moral good, save the opportunity to do virtuous deeds. To abandon one's morals is vice and a sin. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, that man is granted the opportunity to carry out virtuous deeds. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, further states, to abandon one's morals is vice and a sin. And if you forget your moral values, then in turn they will lead you to vice and sin. At the same time, the opportunity to perform virtuous deeds will also diminish. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, for example, a person who commits adultery, he completely disregards the extent of pain that his action will inflict upon the wife's husband. If someone commits adultery with a married woman, if they felt the pain and trauma their action will cause and had moral values, they would never commit such an abhorrent act. If this corrupt individual would understand the dangerous consequences of his evil actions towards society in general, he would abstain from doing such a thing. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, if a person commits a theft in the home of a poor person, the despicable tyrant does not even consider if he has left anything for that individual to eat in the night. Sometimes it is said that a poor person's years of efforts and struggles are wiped out. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, then states, if that individual was ingrained with the aforementioned disposition and was not unaware of moral values, then why would he need to steal? Every day we read in the newspapers that such and such child was killed due to the greed of jewelry, or such and such woman was killed. Just ponder, if one's moral condition improves in this manner, then why would there be such issues? It is possible for a person to go through such trials due to his own condition and yet not realize. If one does not have these morals or thoughtfulness nor the fear of God Almighty, then it is not possible to create such a state. If one has the fear of God and also has humanity inside them, then that individual would never commit such vile acts. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, I advise my community that whosoever shows a change in their moral behavior to their neighbor, in other words, of what they were before and how they are now, then it is as if they have displayed a miracle, and through this they can be a positive influence on their neighbor. People raise allegations against our Jamaat, claiming that they do not see any progress, or that they are unaware of any progress of the Jamaat. And they label accusations and they allege that we display anger and become enraged, as well as invent fabrications. Therefore, is it not a source of remorse for those people that an individual entered this community considering it to be grand and noble, just like a sensible child? I.e. those people who go on to commit such atrocities should be ashamed. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, a sensible son bears the virtuous traits of his father, because the one who pledges allegiance is akin to a son who follows commands, just like you all have pledged allegiance. Therefore, the allegations raised by such people should not prove to be true for any of us. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, then states, a spiritual father can carry an individual to heaven, just as a father gives life to his offspring and is responsible for bringing them physically into this world, which is the true center of gathering. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, would any son desire to defame his father by visiting prostitutes, or involving himself in gambling, becoming a drunkard, or indulging himself in such immoral acts that will bring shame upon the father? The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, I know for a fact that no individual would wish for this. Yet, when an unworthy son carries out such acts, then it is not possible for other people to remain silent, and people will point fingers at the father, saying that the son of such and such is engrossed in immoral acts. Thus the shameful son himself becomes the means of bringing shame upon his father. Similarly, if an individual enters this fold, i.e. joins the Jamaat, and does not uphold the honor and respect of this community by committing an act that is contrary to its values, then in the eyes of Allah the Almighty he is culpable, because not only does he ruin himself, rather he has a negative impact on others and becomes the reason for them to remain bereft of the good fortune of guidance. If people see corrupt examples, this will distance them from the Jamaat. They will not enter the Jamaat, and as a result will be bereft of all the blessings and guidance that one gains from being part of a community. Thus you should seek the help of God Almighty with all your might and with all your strength and with all your courage. You should strive to remove your weaknesses. Wherever you stumble, you should raise your hands for supplication with complete truthfulness and conviction, because anyone who supplicates with complete humility and humbleness, accompanied with conviction and truthfulness, is never left empty-handed. We can say with experience that thousands of our prayers have been accepted and continue to be accepted. The promised Messiah alayhi salam continues by saying, it is an undeniable truth that the one who does not harbour any compassion for their fellow being is a miser. If I see a path that is blessed and beneficial, then it is my responsibility to alert the people and call them towards it. One should not be concerned whether people will follow it or not. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam then further states, that until man does not strive and seek help through prayers, he will not be able to remove the stain from his heart. It is for this reason that Allah the Almighty states that Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. In other words, Allah the Almighty does not avert any kind of punishment which befalls on a person until a nation does not seek to change their own condition. How can one bring about a change if they do not show any bravery or courage? This is an unchangeable practice of God Almighty, just as Allah the Almighty states, وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. That is, thou will never find any change in the way of Allah. Therefore, whether it is our Jamaat or any other person, they can only bring about a change in their morals when they strive and pray. Otherwise, it is not possible. May Allah the Almighty enable us to follow the noble example of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and better our morals in every aspect and in all situations and in all circumstances. May we raise the standard of our morals in order to attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, and not just to show people. May true sympathy for mankind develop within our hearts. May we raise the standards of our righteousness, i.e. taqwa. We have accepted the Imam of this age. Therefore, we should always be cognizant of the fact that no action of ours should be such that dishonors the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam. Rather, we should be those who spread the beautiful teachings of Islam and we leave a positive impression on the world. Moreover, we should constantly seek to raise the standards of our morals, and for this we should prostrate and supplicate before Allah the Almighty and seek His help in order to achieve this. After the Friday prayers, I shall lead a funeral prayer in absentia of Sheikh Abdul Majid Sahib, son of Sheikh Abdul Hamid Sahib from Defence Society, Karachi. He passed away on 15th February 2018 at the age of 88. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ahmadiyyat entered their family through their grandfather, Hazrat Sheikh Noor Ahmed Sahib Jalandhari, whose name has been mentioned by the Promised Messiah alayhi salam amongst the 313 companions in his book Anjame Atam at number 242 by the name Sheikh Noor Ahmed Sahib Jalandhari from Mombasa. The deceased was born in 1929 in Jalandhar, and after acquiring an FSc from Taleemul Islam College Qadian, he did his MSc from Government College Lahore in Chemical Engineering and topped his college. From 1951 to 1953, he travelled to UK and pursued further education in Metallurgical Engineering from Surrey University. After this, he had the opportunity to serve the Jamaat, and he served as Secretary Jaidat, the President of the Local Welfare Committee, and he also served as the Vice President of Karachi. He also served as a member of the Central Majlis Tehreek-e-Jadid. He had one daughter, Salma Tariq, who is the wife of Tariq Sajjad Sahib, and he leaves behind two grandsons and one granddaughter. His grandson writes, "Right from his childhood, he had a special relationship with Allah the Almighty due to being in the company of the elders in Qadian. Once he did not perform well in his English matriculation exams, and he was on his way from the direction of the mosque, and Hazrat Mawlana Sher Ali Sahib was also coming out from the mosque. And so he met Mawlana Sahib, and he inquired about the exam, and he replied that the exam did not go well. And so Mawlana Sher Ali Sahib raised his hands and immediately began to pray, and then gave the good news that he would pass. And the prayer was heard in such a manner that he passed in every exam after that. He experienced various circumstances in his life, both difficult and happy. After leaving from here, in the UK, he worked in various employments, and due to the opposition of the Jamaat, and also due to the misconduct of his superiors, he was expelled from his duties. And eventually, he started his own business, and he pledged that he will keep aside a small portion of his income apart from his expenses, and will give the rest of his income to the Jamaat. And by the grace of Allah the Almighty, he remained loyal to his pledge, which he had made with Allah the Almighty until his demise. He had businesses and also factories, and he donated his earnings to the Jamaat and always continued to pay his chanda. When Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV launched MTA, the deceased immediately donated 10 million rupees. Similarly, there were plans to build a mosque in Russia, and before any appeal was even launched, a Russian delegation came to visit Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV. And during their meeting, the private secretary informed Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV that Sheikh Sahib had already donated a large sum of money for the mosque, and this was even before any appeal had been launched. And Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV expressed great happiness upon this. Similarly, the missionary of that area writes, that when the incidents in Darul Zikr and Model Town happened on the 28th May 2010, he says that I went to the office and saw that the Secretary of Finance was filling out a receipt and he was writing many zeros. I asked that perhaps he was filling so many zeros by mistake. However, he replied that no, in fact, Sheikh Sahib had just come and he has donated 10 million rupees towards Sayyidina Bilal Fund. Similarly, he donated very large sums of money for the publication of the Holy Quran. He donated towards many projects that were initiated by the Jamaat in Karachi. And he lived his life with great simplicity. From his appearance, one could not tell that he was the owner of two factories and was an extremely affluent person. That is, because whatever he earned, he would keep some for his own expenses and donate the rest to the Jamaat. And even in his will, he had stated that this wealth of his shall be donated to the Jamaat. May Allah the Almighty shower him with his blessings and elevate his status and grant patience and courage to his grandchildren and his daughter. And may he enable them to continue his good deeds. After the prayers, I shall lead his funeral prayer in absentia.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.